Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Bully Hay is an Australian singer and songwriter whose upbringing saw him utterly immersed in music, with his musical family helping to ignite his lifelong passion at an early age, ultimately sparking his desire to become a musician by his father, who introduced Bully to some chords on the guitar at the tender age of 14. The rest well and truly was history, with the self-taught artist going on to learn music by ear and performed in bands and as a solo artist for the years to follow. Bully embraces Australian rock with swooning acoustic adornment. His debut album, Black Rocks and Songbirds, was produced by legendary Jeff Martin of the Tea Party fame. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Bully Hay. Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I am in Tasmania, Australia, which is a little island right down the bottom of Australia, separated from the mainland.
Is there a lot going on in that part of the world, or is it pretty quiet?
It's pretty quiet. There's about 500,000 people down here. And, it kind of reminds a lot of people of New Zealand. There's a lot of mountains and rivers and beautiful landscapes. So it's a good tourist hotspot.
Okay, so now how did the name or the stage name Bully Hay come into play?
Well, Hay is the surname of my grandmother, her maiden name, and her brother, his nickname was Bully. He was one of the rats of Tobruk in World War II. My actual name, Jonathan Coleman, is, there was a famous radio star down here in Australia, and so I couldn't call myself that because everyone would think that I was him. So, I took up the name of my old uncle because he was kind of an adventurer, funny lad. So, and it just stuck, and here we are.
At what age, whether it was a child or teenager, did you feel cool? I want to be creating music, being in the entertainment world, creating in that space. And how did that journey progress to where we are today?
I come from a pretty musical family. My dad is a folk musician and, my brother and my sisters, like they all play and sing and that kind of thing. And I've just been exposed to music my whole life. But I first picked up a guitar when I was 14. My dad showed me two or three chords. And from there, I just kind of, once you learn four chords, you pretty much got most of the hit songs in here.
Yeah.
I started to just teach myself. I can't read music. And off it went. Yeah. Not really like the professional side of thing didn't really kick in until much later. So, yeah.
Why did the professional side only kick in much later?
Well, I had a real crack at music. In and around like 2009, 2010, that kind of time period. But at the time, started a young family and, I couldn't juggle like life on the road and raising kids. And that kind of all was put on the back burner for a while. And then I recently picked up, I've always kind of played and recorded demos and stuff at home just for my own fun. Yeah, it wasn't until a couple of years ago that I had some inspiration to just like really give it a good go again, which feels great.
What was that inspiration?
Ever since I was 14, when I picked up that guitar, my favorite band in the world was then and still is now the Tea Party, a Canadian rock band. And Jeff Martin, who's the front man of that band, I followed his solo career all through the years. And just as chance had it, he was playing a solo show down here in Hobart, and a mutual friend. It's just so weird, like the universe kind of connecting people. My friend said, I didn't realize that he was one of Jeff Martin's best mates. And I was like, what? So I just kind of managed to get backstage at that show. and you know, met Jeff, and he was a lovely guy. And then I was lucky enough to go with him and my friend back to his house to an after party, you know, so the drinks are flying and all of that stuff, and lots of chats. As the night really wore on and everyone's kind of loosened up, we started sharing some music, and Jeff was showing me some of his, what would become the Seven Deadly Sins, his last record. And I plucked up the courage to ask if he wanted to hear a couple of my demos, and he said, yeah, sure. And I put that on, and he closed his eyes and went into his little world, and he came out of that and just went, we're going to make a record together. And I'm going to produce you, and you're coming to my house in March, and we're going to do this. And I'm thinking, no, you're not. This is not right.
Okay.
I'm like, this is just drunk talking. I said, I'll do it if you play guitar on it. He said, done deal. And we shook hands, and that was that. And the next day I thought that was just alcohol talking. And no, his manager called me, and it was all on. And I had to block out the diary, and it happened. And so for the best part of 2023, we've been working on this record. It's just come out in October. So huge, like that kind of thing just doesn't happen, you know. So I was lucky enough, because they say never meet your heroes. But I wasn't disappointed. Yeah.
I love this story so much. So the next day, and when the manager called, and you realized, oh, this is happening, was there a bit of imposter syndrome coming through?
Oh, yeah. I'm like, this, geez, I'm like, hang on, I've dived into the deep end here. And no, it was good. It was a very interesting chat. It was, you know, I was kind of quizzed a lot by Jeff's manager on, you know, if you do this, are you going to just record this thing with Jeff and then park it on the shelf and say, that was nice, I did that? Or are you really going to have a crack and like get out amongst the world and do it? And I said, well, if anyone was going to get me up off my ass and into the world, it would be Jeff Martin. So absolutely going to have a crack. And he's like, all right, let's lock it all in.
I love that story. It's so cool. Absolutely awesome. So you said that you are self-taught and that you don't read music. So does that cause any challenges for you? Or any inhibitions for you in the creation process? Or do you just go in your own brain route and create in the way in which you understand?
In some way, it's probably inhibits me to a degree, because when I'm working with other musicians that are musically minded, that do understand written, you know, music, you know, I'm so bad at it, I don't even understand what key something is in. You know, like they're like, what key is this in? And I'm like, I don't know. Listen to this. Oh, it's in G. Okay. I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know. So in that respect, yes. But in another way, it's more like I don't have that any kind of thing inhibiting me in that sense. I'm just listening and going by pure feel and ear. Yeah. So you know, pros and cons.
Yeah.
You mentioned that the album was produced and collaborated with Jeff. From 0 to 3 to 4 minutes of creating a song, specifically the creation of this project, what motivates the songs? What invigorates them? Was it collaborated with Jeff the whole period of time? Or did you write some of them yourselves? Let's unpack the creative process.
Sure. So I wrote all of the songs without Jeff. So, you know, that they had already, probably a third of the album is full of songs that are maybe 10 or 12 years old. Like they've been bouncing around in my brain for many years. And then the rest of the album I wrote in the lead up to knowing that I was going up there to record with Jeff. So many of those songs like remained completely the same in structure. I might have changed a few lyrics around, but it was basically this, yep, they were all written in that way. So Jeff was like, oh, this is great, we can just like have fun now. But some songs, Jeff's input would more be, hey, we need to bring the chorus in earlier here, or we need to add a hook into here, or, you know, that kind of thing. And that was his kind of brilliant production producer brain coming into the mode, because he produced all of the Tea Party records and they were obviously incredibly successful. So yeah, it was great because he was like the guide. I had all the material and he was just trying to make it the best that it could be. So you can hear his influence on the record because you hear the way he's layered the music. So there's the core of the songs is me and my guitar, and I play bass on a few songs and a couple of different instruments and that kind of thing, all the backing vocals. And then you may recognize a Jeff Martin solo or the keys in the background, like padding out and filling the gaps. Yeah. But to answer your question about the actual creation of the song, for me, I know a lot of songwriters will write down the words first.
Yes.
So they'll, you know, map out a poem or something like that, and then they will add the music to it. I'm the opposite of that. So I'll make the music first, and I'll tend to have most of the song structure worked out, and I just hum a melody all the way through. And then, you know, some words will stick, and then I build the song like a whirlpool around.
Okay.
That core. And then often I don't know what I'm writing about until the song is finished. So it's like therapy just kind of coming out of my brain. So I kind of get to the end of the song and go, what am I talking about there? Oh, I've got terrible problems.
All the artists that I've spoken to have said the same thing about writing music, that's what it is about. So I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. I love the aesthetic of holding something, the journey of the choice, the journey of the unpacking, the booklet, the listening from song 1 to 10 or 15. I'm not sure if you're aware that CDs, even cassettes and vinyls are making a massive comeback. Vinyls alone last year in the UK, 5.9 million copies sold, the biggest since 1990. And cassettes and CDs are also on an upward trajectory. But we've also got these streaming platforms whereby people consume music on. What is your observation and perception of the landscape at the moment?
Well, I was surprised. It's music to my ears that you say that, because I'm of that generation where before streaming, you know, you would go to the CD store and you would pick through all the CDs and you'd pick something up you wouldn't heard of. You're just like, that's a nice album cover or whatever, and go home and listen to it all. And vinyl as well. Oh, I love that. I think the streaming thing is just here to stay, and it's with us. And, you know, it is a great way to get your music out there. Obviously makes almost no money for the actual creator, but it is like a great platform to be heard. But I'm finding just now the real fans that may find you on there are going and buying the CD because they want the tangible thing. So we did, you know, a whole run of CDs and vinyl, and really I paid a lot of attention to getting the all a beautiful piece, you know. I love it. I'm right back into it too. I sold my old CD collection once the advent of streaming came in, and I regretted it now after buying it all back now and vinyl. But it's great that it's coming back. And I hope you're right. I hope that people get into that and really kind of, start supporting the artist in that way.
I'm not sure if you're aware of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. So that's the way people receive and interpret information. There's a section around processing information, and people have a dominant one, a secondary, and a tertiary one. Now, dominance means that you'll be in it for most of the day, secondary for a little bit of the day, and tertiary maybe half an hour, if at all. Now, there are three skills, namely visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. Now, visual people create pictures around what they're receiving or the information they're getting. Auditory people, it's around the words and sentences. So they understand the word, they put it into a sentence, they understand the sentence, put it into a paragraph. Kinesthetic, again, that word kinesthetic, they interpret information through the body language, their energy, the tone of voice, all those sort of elements around the information. Now, focusing specifically on music, when you're listening to music of your own or by other artists, when you're listening to the song or songs, are you creating pictures when listening to them? Is it about hearing the words, or is it about the energy, feeling, and emotion that you're getting?
Really good question. When I'm listening to the music, I'll try to explain. I feel like I see the music in four dimensions. So it's, like you've got, let's say, for example, the drums are back here and the bass is like here and the guitar's here and the vocals here. And like you can hear, you can see the, I can see the music, I suppose. So probably the visual, thing, but I can feel where it is in a room. And I listen for, especially the way that I listen to music and the way that we mixed, or the way that Jeff mixed this record, is you, I knew it wasn't done until the spaces were filled, like that I could see gap, I could see gaps. So whereas, my older stuff, it was just me doing a demo and I'm putting down a couple of guitar tracks down and some vocals and that kind of thing. And I listen back to it now, I'm like, it's, you can hear that it's empty. Well, I see that it's empty, So it's like, fill that, like put a block in there, and hash that out. So
So I think that it's dominant visual, secondary kinesthetic, and tertiary auditory. Because you referenced earlier that the words normally come at the end, and then you're like, oh, what am I singing about?
it has to be, it has to interest me. The music has to interest me first and foremost. I can't just plug away at a few chords and tell a story and that be enough. Sometimes it is, and that works brilliantly for some artists. For me, the music really has to envelop me first, and then the mu and the words and everything have to augment that around it. That's my way, but yeah.
What is next? What's happening short term and long term?
Well, it's getting it on the road now. Yeah, so I've just done, come off the back of a tour with Jeff. I was supported him at just around a few different spots in Australia. The album launch show. Then I'll be looking to kind of extend that into the regional areas of Australia and start to plan some international shows as well. So going to New Zealand and yeah, maybe South Africa.
Yes, I was waiting to hear that. So let's say when you come here to perform, I'll be cheering you on from the side of the stage, and then we can go for coffee afterwards or drinks.
Excellent.
So I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 8 years, I know your answer will be different every time because there are millions of them. I recognize that and I understand that. I'm not saying favorite, I'm saying top of mind. But if you had to push play to five songs by other artists once we finish this conversation, what would those five songs be and by whom?
All right. Well, I'll give you just front of mind because I don't have favorites. But one is Liana Lajavis, who did a cover. I don't, this is probably pretty old now. She did a cover of Weird Fishes by Radiohead. It is an incredible recording. Like her voice just sends shivers all over me. It's incredible. That'd be one. There is Eddie Vedder. He's been doing like releasing some solo stuff. He did, this is a cover as well, Save It For Later. That's a great one. That's a simple, beautiful thing. Into War on Drug, the War on Drugs. I'm not sure if they're big in South Africa. They've got a song, Lost in the Dream, which is incredible. That's three, right? What else have we got? There's a heavier, rockier one by a band called Slow Mosa, called In My Mind's Desert. This is like a desert rock kind of thing. What else is ticking the boxes at the moment? Going back into the 90s, Soundgarden, My Wave, just the killer song. And then Nine Inch Nails, Discipline, because the drum beat is like absolutely awesome.
So you referenced that you're performing live to promote the new album. So naturally, this will be the first time you're doing these performances. So how is that for you? Are there any elements that you are surprised about that you didn't realize would be part of the process? Are you enjoying it? Tell us more.
It's really, really difficult because the way that the music industry is now, and it probably comes back to that chat we were just having about streaming platforms and the way that the record labels are now you're basically your own record label. You have to handle PR, create endless content every day, learn how to work video editing software. Yes. Oh my God, I hate that. Just filming yourself all the time, you know, and then, you know, you're planning tours and logistics and that kind of stuff, which normally in the old days, that was like the record label is throwing all that money at it. You've got to do it. You've got to find some money and do it smart and be pushing it out there. So that's incredibly, I didn't realize how incredibly involved that was. It's just, man, it's just crazy. But you, it just is the way of the world now. And you find that by the time you get to the point where your music is being listened to and you've got that following and that fan base, then the record labels will be interested in you, and then you don't need them. So it's kind of like,
yes,
you know, you might, you know, unless you want to go to this big next level, but not everybody wants to do that. We don't all want to be as big as, I don't know, Coldplay or something. Yep. You want to be, yeah, have that integrity. Not that they don't, but, you know what I mean. Everybody's different.
So the podcast is listened to throughout the world. So as a final message, what would you like to say?
Oh, look, you know, I hope that that some of you, you know, this inspires you to jump on and have a listen to these records. The record, I should say. We are doing CDs and vinyls that we're shipping worldwide, but I hope that people listen to this music, and if it resonates and connects with them, you'll find different meanings to all of these songs. I'm not kind of writing music in this way to please anybody. It's a purely selfish exercise. But if it connects with you, then I'll feel like I've done my job right.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.